You may be seated. Well, I think you're all young at heart. But because there are no kids, Ernie, don't sit down. I need someone to help me, and you look like the perfect person. Yes, can you spell, Ernie? Can you spell? I need someone that can help me to spell. Oh boy, we could be in a lot of trouble. This isn't that hard, and the words aren't that big. I'm going to start it off and just show you how we do it, and then you can do a word or two if you can spell. The first word is God. We read in the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's three letters, I think. God, G-O-D. If I get it right, we get the God card. Oh, it actually worked. Look at that God. God created each and every one of us. He created Adam and Eve, and he laid out some instructions, what they were to do and not do in the Garden of Eden, and they disobeyed God, and the Bible calls that sin. I'm going to try to spell the word sin. S-I-N. Look at that. So it's not that hard, as you can see. We read about these things in the Bible, which is God's word to us. It's God's love letter. It's God's instruction and how he wants us to live our lives each and every day. This word's a little bigger. Maybe you can help me do this together. Bible. B. Are you helping me? I. L-E. Now I'm confused. There we go. Look at that. Bible. Okay, so it's not that hard, as you can see. In the Bible, we hear and we learn how God loves us. Why don't you try to spell the word love?
L-O-V-E.
No, it's Jesus. We were looking for the word love. I know you know that Jesus loves you and Jesus loves me, but we're looking for the love card. Let's do that again.
L.
O. V. E. There it is.
I didn't get an E on there.
No, it's good. God loves you. We also learn that God loves us, and God says, I have come into this world to give you life, to give you new life. Let's try that one together. L-I-F-E. Oh, it's Jesus. It is Jesus that gives us life. That's true. But Ernie, we were looking for the life card. Let's try that again. L-I-F-E. There it is. Give yourself a hand. Yeah. Give yourself a hand. And Jesus says, I have come into this world to give you life and to give you joy. Joy. Let me see if I can do that one. J-O-Y. I don't know what's wrong here, Ernie. We're looking for the joy card, and we got Jesus. We know Jesus comes to give us joy. Let me see if I can do this. J-O-Y. There we go. Jesus came to give us joy. Something else Jesus did, the only reason we're able to have forgiveness of sin and to have joy in our life is because Jesus went to the cross. Can you spell cross?
C-R-O-S-S.
There it is. Got it good. We have to have faith in Jesus. It's not just enough just to hear the story. I mean, even Satan knows the story, but to believe in our hearts that God went to send his son Jesus to a cross to die for you and me takes faith. F-A-I-T-H. Yes. We were looking for the faith card, but we know the faith is in Jesus. We have to spell this again. Faith. F-A-I-T-H. That's right. Faith. And you know, one day, Jesus is coming back to planet Earth for you, Ernie, and for me, and for you. Could you spell faith? F-A-I-T-H. age. Actually, it was kings we were trying to come up with, I think. Because he's coming back to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But we wanted the king card. Let's try that again. K-I-N-G. Yes, he is coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I hope he's King and King and Lord of Lord of your life. And you know what? I have one card left. It's the Jesus card. And you know, if you have nothing else, if you lose everything else that you have, but you have Jesus, you've got everything. Would you give Ernie a hand? He did a great job, didn't he? Oh, boy. I get more nervous talking to you kids than I ever do about preparing a sermon and speaking to you folks. This morning, I brought my beach towel. You never know how long the service is going to go, so in case the heat goes off, I got a little blanket here with me. This is my beach towel. Is it all right if I just kind of lay it here somewhere? I'm going to lay it over here, I think. I don't know if you've ever had the situation happen to you where you plan to go to the beach for the day. And you bring your beach towel and you bring your suntan lotion and you bring your lunch, you bring your cooler. And it's just beautiful. Maybe some of you have already been to the beach down in Florida for the winter. Anybody? Yeah. Oh, wasn't that wonderful? Yeah, we didn't get to go. The water is so enticing. Did you go out in the water? Yeah. And you're out there and you're playing around and you're having so much fun. And you remember when you were kids and your parents would say, now, don't go far out. Don't go too far. Stay where I can see you, right? And so you say, yes, Mom, yes, Dad, I'll do that. And then you look back and you can't see your towel. And you think, okay, who's playing tricks on me? Who moved my towel? Who moved my beach chair? Who moved my cooler? Where did everything go? That's kind of a rotten trick to play. And then you go back, and it seems as though the towel has been moved. But really, nobody moved the towel. Nobody moved your personal things. It was you that moved. You drifted. Have you ever been in a boat where maybe you shut off the motor? Or if you're in a canoe and you stop paddling and you just drift. It's so relaxing. It's so wonderful. You're just having so much fun and you're getting a bit of a suntan. And you decide it's time to go back in. Gonna go back where I left my towel, and you turn around. It's hundreds and hundreds of feet down the beach. Again, nobody moved your towel. It was you that moved. You drifted. It's really easy to drift, you know. You don't have to do anything. Just relax. Go with the flow. Go with where everybody else is going. And you run to, how do I drift? Well, you see, there's this current that's happening underneath your feet. Sometimes if you look down, you can actually see the current pulling the sand. Do you know you can drift not just physically, but also spiritually? Think about that. You can drift on the outside, but you can also drift on the inside. Did you know that even Christians can drift? Drifting. It happens. And it happens to each and every one of us. And it seemed kind of appropriate to talk about drifting at this particular time of the year, because we're now at the end of May, end of April. We're getting into the nice weather. Some of you are planning on your vacation. And I think maybe I'll just take a couple weeks off from church. After all, I'm on vacation. And 2 weeks can become 3 weeks, and 3 weeks can become four weeks, and before you know it, it's been a while since you've opened up your Bible to read it. It's been a while since you prayed. It's been a while since you gathered together with other believers. You can't believe how long it's been. But we just kind of just drift it. It's really quite easy just to go with the flow. It requires no effort whatsoever. And it's an unconscious process that you go through. You don't plan on being unfaithful to God. You don't plan on being unfaithful to church. It just kind of happens. And you know, when you drift, you tend to drift downstream, away from where everything was. And when you drift downstream, it usually, you go faster than you were going before. So you're drifting away from everything that's familiar, everything that's part of your DNA, who you are, what you believe, and you go faster. And you just drift away from things of God. There's a story that you're familiar with in the book of Judges about a man by the name of Samson. Samson drifted. He began to hang out with the wrong kind of people. He met this girl, Delilah, which was really bad news for him. Samson had an unusual power and strength. He was dedicated by his parents as a Nazarite. And there was a special power and a special anointing upon his life. And the secret of his strength was in his hair. And so as a Nazarite, he never cut his hair. And the Philistines said to Delilah, if you can find out the source of Samson's strength, there's going to be a good reward for you. And so she played this game with Samson, trying to get him to give the secret of his strength. And he'd fall off to sleep, and then she'd say, Samson, the Philistines are coming! Thinking that he had told her the real secret, but still his strength was there. And he was able to fight off the Philistines. Whatever came his way, he was victorious. Even though he had been asleep, he woke up. But one day, he just drifted a little too far. She got him at a weak moment. And he told her, the secret of my strength is in my hair. When he fell asleep, you know the story. She cut his hair. The Philistines came. She's playing a game with them, and she said, Samson, the Philistines are coming. He gets up to try to fight them off, and he's a weakling. There's no power. There's no strength. And to me, there's a pretty sad verse in verse 20 of Judges, chapter 16. So, and they came, Samson, she said, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He awoke from his sleep, verse 20 says, and thought, I'll go out just as before and shake them myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. He didn't even realize that the Spirit of God, the salvation that he had, the source of his strength, had left him. He drifted. And not only did he drift, but he didn't know it. He didn't even know how far he had come. From that moment when he was dedicated to the Lord to where he is today was miles and miles away. But he didn't even realize it. There's a man that I know who went to a church that I pastored. Good man, good family, good couple. Had committed his life to Jesus. Matter of fact, publicly he shared his testimony one Sunday. One day he came to me and said, "Pastor, we're leaving the church. We're moving. And we're going to go to a church that's closer to where we really live." We thought that makes sense. We sent him on his way. And you know what? A week became a month became a year, and we just lost contact, and that happens. There are people that used to come to this church, they're not here now, and they've just out of sight, out of mind sometimes. Someone had told me that his wife was sick and she eventually died. They were having a celebration of life. So I went to the celebration of life. Wasn't held in a church. There was no clergy involved. There was no singing of hymns. There was no Bible reading. I thought it was strange, knowing this family. I took opportunity to greet him and to share my condolences with him, and I said, I'd love to get together with you for coffee. So we arranged a time to get together for coffee, and we just talked about old times and reminisced on some wonderful experiences we've had together. And I said, "Tell me about church. Did you ever find a church?" "No." I said, "You know, there's a good one. There's a good one right close to where you live." He said, "I don't think so." This man just drifted. Just drifted from everything that he knew to be true. And I walked away from that coffee shop thinking, how did that happen? How could that happen? And then I realized, you know what? That could happen to me. It could happen to you. It doesn't matter how spiritual we think we are. If we become disconnected from the Lord, from His Word, and from each other, life will go on. Life will go on. God's not going to strike you dead. God's not going to send a plague upon you. You may not be even disciplined in any way. Life will just go on. But then when a crisis maybe comes or something happens, you realize, wow, what's happened? You drifted. Just drifted away. I want you to look at a passage of Scripture. It's coming up on the screen, and you can follow along in your own Bible. It's a short verse. It's also in Hebrews. And that word this morning that was read earlier really ties in with my Scripture. I love it when the Lord works that way. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 1-3. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? In God's Word are the values, the truths, the principles upon which we guide and direct our lives. And we're being encouraged here to not to drift from that whatsoever, but to follow the direction that's laid out for us in God's Word. This passage of Scripture is written, again, it doesn't tell us exactly who the author is of these letters, this book of Hebrews, but the feeling is that it's the Apostle Paul. It's written to second generational Christians, and they're going through persecution at this particular time. wasn't very popular to be known as a Christ follower. So when it's difficult to stand up for what you believe, it's easier sometimes just to not tell people what you believe. And just maybe you don't even live by those principles and those guidelines. And they just are kind of being persecuted and they're drifting a little bit. And so Paul lays out this warning here, this exhortation to challenge the people. And say, you need to be careful. You need to be careful how you're living your life. I could probably come up with a list of maybe 10 different causes or different things that cause us to drift, but I'm only going to mention 5 this morning with the hour that I've been given. No, just joking. No, I do have more than 5, but I'm not going to take an hour. So don't drift out of here, okay? Don't drift. Don't worry about that. We'll be okay. I got my watch here, which has just stopped. No, it's going. It's okay. Number one, one of the ways I think we drift sometimes is out of control schedule. Our schedules are so busy. And you know, I know there's some people here this morning that are retired, like I am. It's kind of funny, isn't it? Retired. You look forward to that day when you would retire and you'd have nothing to do, right? And then I would talk to people that are retired and say, so how's it going? A lot of free time, right? And people would say, I'm busier now than when I was working. Like, how does that happen? It's true, though. But we need to be careful, even in retirement, because sometimes our schedule gets so busy that it gets filled up with other stuff, and there isn't any time left for the things of God. Service in the church, ministry, spending time with the Lord. It's just out of control. Maybe loss of focus. It's not intentional, but it just happens, right? Number one, out of control schedule. Number two, misplaced affections. My wife and I are celebrating our 50th anniversary this year. Yes, you need to give her an applause because just to live with me, I guess, is difficult. But you know, I mean, do you remember when you, those of you that are married, do you remember when you fell in love? We were at this concert last night, and there was this couple up front. And can you stand with me? I'm sorry to picking you. They're singing a hymn, and he's standing like this. He's got his arms around her. And Bev, I said, Bev, did you notice that? She says, yeah, didn't they look like they were in love? You can have a seat now. We're in love. But it was different, wasn't it, Bev? But you remember, I mean, the affection, the love that you had? Do you remember when you first accepted the Lord into your life? The love? I was a lot thinner back then. I didn't eat very much when I first fell in love. But now we've served the Lord for a number of years, and I don't know, other things just kind of move in. And relationships, other people come into our lives, people that are maybe not as interested in the things of the Lord. We spend more time with them than we do with our church family. Sometimes it's work related. We just get so busy and we get absorbed in our work that we don't have time for the things of God. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's the media. It's our computers. It's our phone. There's so many things that can distract us today. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. We can fool people, but we can't fool the Lord. He knows whether or not we've drifted or not. Number three, I think, can be discouragement. You ever been discouraged? People ever done things to you or said things? Situations happen? Maybe sickness? You pray and nothing seems to happen. You get discouraged. Remember when Jesus told his disciples to get out into the boat and then they see Jesus walking on the water? And Peter says, "Master, is that you?" And Jesus says, "Yeah, it's me. Come." So Peter gets out of the boat. And he says, "Hey, guys, look at me. Look at me. I'm walking on water." Jesus says, "Come. Come." And then Peter begins to take his eyes off of Jesus. He says, "Oh, my goodness, look at those clouds. Look at those waves. I can't do this." Gulp, gulp, gulp. Down he goes. Took his eyes off of Jesus. That was the mistake. And we can get discouraged. And if we take our eyes off of Jesus, we drift. We have a pity party. We lose interest sometimes in the things of God. Or maybe we're angry at God. It's, you know, it's okay. He can handle that. But keep your eyes on him at the same time as you're angry with him. Look him in the face if you have to argue with him. He'll still love you. He understands. Sometimes it's an abundance. We just have too much. I could tell you stories for a long time about my parents going through the Depression with very little. And my mother giving money away to the church. My mom was just so honest. And we were taught we were to tithe on everything that we had. And then there's the offering on top of that. Oh my goodness. Today though, we have too much. You say, "But I'm not rich. I don't figure myself very rich." Compare yourself to the rest of the world. We have an abundance. And you know, I've said to people, and we actually can make it from day to day without God living here. Chatham Kent, if you'd gone through the Depression, if you'd gone through real difficult times, I mean, we didn't have health care system that we have today. You get sick, you go to the doctor. My parents went to the great physician. They didn't have money. You have to trust God for everything. And so when we have an abundance of things, sometimes God is like the last resort. You know what I'm saying? We don't really need him. And because of that, we can drift. And then there's the last one, and again, okay, there's more, but it's like a parasite. Parasitical sins that come into our life. Just little things. Maybe nothing serious, but just something that's inside that just like eats away at you. Eats and gets infested and it begins to spread. And when that happens, there's something that turns us away from God because we get embarrassed. There are people that are afraid to come into the door of this church because they think we're all perfect. They think we've got it all together. They think we are without sin. And so if they come in with their sin, all of a sudden they feel guilty. And so they run. Instead, they should run to the front. Instead, they run out. But that can happen to you and me. Because there's some unconfessed sin that you are afraid that somebody might find out. And so we drift. We drift. In verse 3 of that passage of scripture that I shared with you, it says, "How shall we escape the punishment for our sins if we reject such a great salvation?" No, I'm sorry, I read that wrong, didn't I? It doesn't say reject, does it? You've closed your Bible, and I know it's not on the screen, but it doesn't say reject. What does it say? How shall we escape if we... Come on. Neglect. Or depending what translation you have, ignore. Ignore such a great salvation. Not intentional. We're not rejecting. We just ignore. We neglect. And when we do that, we drift. So that's why Paul was warning the people, you need to be very careful how you live. You need to be very, very careful. So how do we stop drifting? It's in the beginning of that verse. Pay more careful attention, it says. Pay more careful attention to how you live. I'm trying to do that every day when my wife speaks to me after 50 years. Bev will say, did you hear me, Ken? Did you hear what I said? And sometimes we smile. Yes, dear. Right, guys, I hear you. But if we were put through a test, we probably would fail the test. Because we weren't really listening. Right, Beth? Confession is good for the soul. We were distracted. We were distracted. So Paul says, pay more careful attention. Number two, when you're drifting, I'm not a fisherman, but we used to go up to Parry Sound when our family was younger, and we used to do some bass fishing. And I knew enough to drop an anchor. Got to put an anchor down, because here's where the fish are, and I want to stay in this area. But if I didn't put the anchor down, next thing I know, the boat has drifted over here, and I'm casting and nothing's happening because there's no fish here. The fish are over there. I should have dropped the anchor over here, so I would have stayed where the fish are. We need to stay anchored in the Word. And I know your pastor's been taking you through a series of the Bible and the importance of the Bible and how we can learn from the Bible. We need to anchor ourselves in God's Word. We need to anchor ourselves in Him. Even when the sun is shining, even when there's money in the bank, even when everything is going good, get anchored in the Word. Get anchored in the Lord. Get anchored with the body. Because unless you're perfect, you can drift. You can drift. But if you're anchored, you're not going to end up over there. And so that's the exhortation that Paul, the Apostle Paul, is sending to the people. And then one last verse, and with this I close. James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. It says, do not merely listen to the word. Don't just listen to what I'm saying this morning and so deceive yourself. But he goes on to say, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. Anybody look at their face in a mirror this morning? When you first got out of bed, you went into the bathroom, you looked at your face in the mirror and you said, oh my. And then did you just proceed to put your clothes on and come here this morning? I don't think so. Not from what I'm looking at, you all look pretty good. And you don't look like you just got out of bed. So something has happened from the time you looked in your mirror and the time you came to this church, right? Confession's good for the soul. You did something about how you looked, right? You changed your appearance. It says, anyone who listens to the word of God but does not do what it says is like a man or a woman who looks at his face in the mirror. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. No, don't do that. But the man who looks intensely into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed. He will be blessed in what he does. Do you want to be blessed? Do you want to be blessed of the Lord this morning? Then do what his word says. Let's pray. Father, we confess there are times that we have drifted from you. And Father, when we feel far away from you, we never can question whether it was you that moved or us? It's always us. You're still there. You're still where you've always been. And we're the ones that have drifted from you. God, I just pray, Lord, that you help us to be careful of those currents that are around us and to drop our anchor that's founded in you and let us become strong in you and stay faithful in your word. Stay faithful in the church. Stay faithful with your people. Because one day you're going to say, it's time to come home. And we'll be with you for eternity. That's the desire of our hearts. And so, God, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your goodness. Help us to stay focused on you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Turn with me to 393. I think it's coming up on the screen as well. Take my life and let it be. And let that be your prayer as you're singing that this morning. Would you stand with me as we sing? Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May you know his joy. May you know his love. And may you sense his peace in your life this week as you live for him. Amen. Could I just